When I was a boy, my friends and I used to journey through a number of backyards. And where I lived, some of the backyards were pretty deep, and all of them were not simply yards with lawns. Some of them had woods on them. And so sometimes we would disappear into the woods for hours on end. And most of the time, we would be exploring something or other. And I remember a day when, as we were doing so, we came upon this edifice, this building. It was seemingly in the middle of nowhere. It was in the woods. And in fact, it seemed to be very old, because it was made of red Medina sandstone, and there were very large stones, one upon another. But the issue about this building was that it didn't seem in very good repair. In fact, it wasn't. It didn't even have a roof. Parts of the walls were crumbled down, and in fact, it was the perfect venue for 10-year-old boys to exercise their imagination. It seemed like this was an old castle. And so there we were, fashioning wood together as we went home and came back day after day and had our mock battles in the castle, on the castle walls, up the ramparts, and all of that. It was only many years later that I discovered that this wasn't a castle at all. In fact, it had been a grist mill. Because one of the reasons we discovered it was we used to course along this stream that went through this neighborhood. It was a stream called Sandy Creek. And the grist mill was built there so that it could use the flowing water to turn the great wheel, to turn the mill wheel within, and so grind the grain ever more finely into flour and into meal. I also learned that this mill was built there because it was a perfect place. This was sort of in the middle of nowhere, as I mentioned, or at least at the time it was seen to be, because right around there were lots of farms as well, people harvesting grain, whether it was dried corn or wheat or whatever was being raised in that vicinity. And so it was placed there as a convenience so that they wouldn't have to cart the grain all that far to a faraway mill. So this was built right there in my backyard, or so it seemed. And as this mill was there, you see, it was important to the town, because I also discovered, along with my investigations, that this mill was supposedly one of the features that made this little town that I lived in so terribly important and seemingly vibrant and the center of a great farming economy. And so, as the county boundaries were cut off from a larger county, Orleans County was born out of Genesee, and Albion, the little town I grew up in, became its county seat. And this mill was part of that story. You wouldn't know it from looking at it when we discovered it, because as I mentioned already, most of the walls had tumbled down, and the ones that were left, you could see seedlings coming up, little trees coming up within between the cracks where the mortar had been, and vines pretty much covered the entire structure. Purely and clearly, nature was reclaiming what had been built in the middle of this place. And I am put in mind of that story when I hear the words of Jesus today. When we hear Jesus say about the great temple of Herod, "Not a stone will be left upon a stone." To understand the impact of what Jesus was saying to his disciples, we need to realize that this was Herod's temple. And in fact, Herod's temple was a marvel to behold. It was considered in its day one of the architectural wonders. It was a vast complex with tall walls, with huge stones, stone upon stone, building high walls. And the temple precincts within were not simply stone, but rather they were put, there was a facade put on the out of them of precious stone. And then even gems were etched into the walls so that when the sun shone on them, it sparkled with light. Not only that, in the middle, since it was the temple of Jerusalem, in the middle was built the Holy of Holies, which was equally grand compared to the old temple. It was huge by ancient standards. And the sacrifices that were offered there constantly provided smoke, kind of like we do here at Evensong, or when we have a high holy day. And in fact, it was incense that was offered frequently in the Holy of Holies in order to provide this mystical revelation. Because the very top of the Holy of Holies was a sort of grate structure, so that when the sun shone and the sun shone through the grate, you saw these beams of light outlined in the smoke of the sacrifice and of the incense. And there dwelt the glory of God. Because in that Holy of Holies was the Ark of the Covenant. It was there that the great commandments were kept. It was there that God lived. So it was an unbelievable thing that those disciples heard. An unbelievable thing that this grand place that took a generation to build, along with so many other building projects of King Herod, that in fact it would be torn down. No, far be it from us, they would say. Because in fact it was the people's pride. And maybe that's exactly what Jesus is getting at. Because it was the center of religious life, because it was the center of the very identity of the people of God, maybe they took a little bit too much pride in it, and in fact they felt that it would last forever. So well was it built, so grand a scale, so perfect the architecture and the engineering. Nothing would destroy this temple. And yet, within a generation of Jesus speaking these words, this bothersome people, this little nation of Israel, this little bunch of people that were a pain in the side of the Roman Empire, the emperor had had enough. And he sent great legions to destroy the city and to tear down the temple, stone by stone. So that in the year 70, the great temple of Herod was no more. And I think the message that is coming across to us in today's gospel lesson is a simple one. That all things come to an end. There is nothing of this world or in this world that does not have a beginning and an ending. That's what I'm put in mind of when I go back in my mind's eye to those days in the woods battling in an ancient medieval castle that was barely 120 years old, that was a grist mill, but in the mind's eye of a 10-year-old boy, my, what a marvelous place. But yet, this building, which was to be the symbol, the sign of a vibrant economic center growing at the center of this new county, This grist mill, which was supposed to be a sign of a thriving agricultural economy, it was no more. It was in the middle of the woods. Tiny trees sprouted from between its stones. Ivy covered it because no commerce happened there. In fact, it was simply there so that little boys could discover it and exercise their overactive imagination. Is that the way we think of the temple? That it was simply a thriving economy at one time, and now it's just something there that is part of the people's imagination? Maybe that's what Jesus meant. But I think not. I think the message was broader and higher than that. I think part of what Jesus was trying to get at was, don't place your confidence, don't place your trust, don't see your security in this grand and glorious building. Oh, Jesus was as much a Jew as any other Jew of his day. He was as much one who would offer sacrifice in the temple. In fact, we are told in the gospel that he often preached in its precincts. His message was legitimized by the place where he was. And more people could hear him there because it was a place where everyone gathered. But Jesus is telling his compatriots, if this is where you put your security, if this is what you invest your life in, beware, because this too will come to an end. Well, it may not be a temple in which we invest our security or our worth or our identity or any of those things. It could be a grist mill in the 19th century, or it might be something like a closet full of clothes or rooms full of shoes. Or if you're like me, a vast CD collection. I love music of every sort. And so over the years, I have collected CD after CD, and it fills several shelves in our library. Not quite as many as the books, but close. And they're smaller, so it tells you how many there are. And yet, you know, I have the good fortune of having just recently acquired a new automobile. And you know what? With all of that music, with all of those CDs, there is no CD player in this car. All things come to an end. So now I need to spend hour upon hour picking out my favorites and putting them onto the computer and transferring them onto my iPhone so that when I can plug my iPhone into the car, then I can listen to the music that I treasure so much. That too probably will come to an end. I can imagine, perhaps, in my overactive imagination, a time when someone will insert a chip into my head. And I'll be able to hear the music. I won't even need the phone anymore. I can hear the music whenever and however and wherever I want. But you see, think of all the $14.95 payments that were made for each and every one of those discs. How much did I invest into that treasured collection? Because someone told me once, this is a technology that will last forever. When we invest ourselves or our spirit into anything that is of this world or in this world, it will come to an end. The only exception to this, my brothers and sisters, is the Spirit of God itself. No matter where we place our security or our safety in the things of this world, there is only one thing that lasts, and that is the Spirit of God. I think this is the core of what Jesus is trying to get across. See this magnificent temple. See this glorious temple, he tells his disciples. If this is where you invest your worth and your security, it will too disappear. Stone will not be left on a stone. And indeed, within a generation, it became true. If you invest your worth in your wardrobe or in a music collection, the technology will change. And soon, you will be out of date, or you will be unable to use what you so assiduously gathered. All things come to an end. All things except the Spirit of God. And so it is the Spirit of God that seeks to engage our hearts. It is the Spirit of God sent to us on the Feast of Pentecost. It is the Spirit of God that flows from the very pierced side of Jesus, and it comes to us and it teaches us that it is there that we find our worth. It is there that we find our security. It is there that we will be saved. It is there that even our life in this world, as it comes to an end, we will live. Even this earth, as the prayer says, this island home of ours in the midst of our great galaxies, this earth of ours, it too will come to an end. It will be consumed when our great sun reaches its final stages and then expands and engulfs everything around it, burning it to a crisp. This earth that we see, the solid pillars of the earth in which we sing about in our psalmody, it will come to an end. But not the Spirit of God. So Jesus, as he unveils for us, as he reveals to us really what the kingdom of God is all about, he teaches us very clearly, it is not about the things of this world. For wars will come upon wars, tragedy upon tragedy. Think of how much we value our own homes. Think of how much we love them, how much is invested in them, how much we invest ourselves in them with our memories. Think on this, and then think on your brothers and sisters in California who now walk away with nothing. Oh, perhaps insurance will replace the building, but the memories, the keepsakes, the photographs, the movies, they're gone. Gone forever. All things come to an end. All things save the Spirit of God. And so it is when we begin to see that our life as disciples of Christ cannot be invested in great stones embellished with beautiful gems or sparkling, glittering brass and gold and silver. None of that will last. No, our riches must be the Spirit. And Jesus teaches us this hard teaching this day. And he bids us that we would join our hearts, our souls, and even our very bodies to that same Spirit, that we might be one body, one Spirit in Christ, that he may dwell in us and we in him. So that indeed, as all things we know come to an end, we joined to his Holy Spirit, will live forever. That is our constant hope. It is the blessing of our life. It is what moves us forward. So think not that anything in this world can bring salvation. Think not that anything we own or possess can protect us and give us great security. For as we see, even around us, this too will end. Rather, this day raise your hearts, your minds, and even your bodies unto God. Be captured by the power of that Spirit, and let that Spirit thrive deep within you.